Good morning once again. Boys and girls, there is a worksheet that is going to be coming out through the rows now, and so you're going to need that as we go through this passage. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, and so if you want to turn there to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read from verses 4 to 9 in just a few moments' time. But boys and girls, on that worksheet, there is going to be, Ian, if you're okay to pop the PowerPoint up, and so there is some fill-in-the-blanks on that worksheet on the front side of it, and we're going to be looking at Paul's toolkit for how we deal with situations that can cause anxiety in our lives. And then on the back of that worksheet, you're going to need those words that you'll fill in the blanks with. They'll fill in a word search, and then there's something below that as well. So if you listen throughout the sermon, and the answers are going to come up on the screen, and so just try and keep up if you can. And just to make sure everyone knows where we're going with this, I also have some tools that my wife Rachel has done an amazing job of making, and so I'm going to need some help from some folks to come up and hold those tools up throughout the sermon. And so forgive me if I ask you to come up and stand up here and hold one if you don't want to, but please just extend grace my way and come up here and hold up one of those. And so I will say, just because it's great to see Sasha back with us this week as well, so I just spotted him there, so it's great to have you back with us. Maybe this coming week, you're going to experience a first on something. For some of our children, maybe it's going to be primary school for the first time, or at least definitely going into a different year. For some of our younger people, it might be a first year of university that you're going into. Or maybe for others, this week might be the start of a new job. New things constantly come along in our lives. And for some people, new things can be something that is quite exciting. There's the prospect of a new adventure, of meeting new people, of potential, and that can fill us with a lot of joy. But maybe for some other people, the thought of new can fill you with a bit of anxiety, of stepping into the unknown. Maybe you would feel much more comfortable just putting the old slippers back on. And this new season can fill you with some butterflies in your tummy. And maybe that can even lead to some sleepless nights. On the flip side, maybe after this summer, you're returning to something old and you prefer to be going into something new. Maybe you're returning to a situation that you preferred that you had left behind, and you have some of those sleepless nights and you're longing for that new season. As I said, we constantly come across new seasons, and we constantly come across things in our lives that can cause anxiety to build. You can think on a number of times within my life when I've been in those places. And so for a number of our young people, they went through exams and got exam results. And so I remember doing exams. And so I'm thinking in the fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, then throughout university, then you go to work and realize, yeah, you have more exams to do at that point as well. They were stressful times. I think more stressful than the exam was getting the exam results. And so I remember, this was before the day when you got it in a text message and when the postman used to come down the road. Myself and my sister almost lynched the postie to try and get our exam results. We were just, I don't know if I was eager to get them or I just wanted that point of relief. But I remember the stress of it. I remember those times also when Rachel was pregnant with R2. I find that quite stressful times. I was quite anxious about it. There are many things in our lives that can feel us feeling anxious. And Jesus knows that. But in his goodness, he speaks of it. And we find it in his words. And so what we find in Philippians chapter 4 is a toolkit for how to deal with those moments. And Sarah also read from Matthew chapter 6 in the Jesus Storybook Bible. And in there, we are reminded that we are more loved than we could ever know. We're reminded that today has enough for itself. Let tomorrow worry about itself. I think we're also reminded in that Matthew 6 passage that it's not our life. That we were bought at a price. That Jesus bought us at a price on the cross. And we belong to him. But we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And let me read from verses 4 to 9 here. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So as I mentioned, boys and girls, we've got a toolkit here, and we've got six things that we're going to take from this passage. I think we're encouraged to lean into, to press into, when situations where those butterflies rise up, when we have those kind of worried thoughts into our minds. And so the first one is rejoicing. And so I'm going to need someone to come up and stand. So Katie, you're going to be the first person. And so you're going to find, there's a bunch of tools here, and you're going to find the one that says rejoicing. I will say there is no correlation between the words and the tool. There is no, don't read into that at all, whatsoever. And so it's just when I came up, I don't do a lot of DIY stuff. And so anyway, the first one we have is rejoicing. And so, you know, you're okay to go to the, there you go. So the first thing we're told to do in verse 4 is rejoice. Rejoice in every season, no matter what the day holds. We have something, we have someone to rejoice in. At the start of our time together, I didn't know he was going to do this, but Dan read from Psalm 150. And that was also a passage that the team from Holiday Bible Club that we went through throughout the week of Holiday Bible Club. And 13 times within those six verses, we are encouraged, if not you could say commanded, to rejoice. Our rejoicing and praising in Jesus is not dependent on how we feel. It's not dependent upon the situations that surround us. Yes, it can impact how, but we continue to rejoice because of, and there in Psalm 150 it speaks of, because of his mighty deeds and because of who he is, because of his perfect character, because of his greatness. Our praises, our rejoicing is constantly because of Jesus. Not because of us. If it's dependent on anything else apart from his great deeds and then who he is, it means we've put ourselves at the center rather than Jesus. Our days may change, but the truth of Christ and his salvation never changes. And so we always have something and someone to rejoice in. We rejoice in the finished work on the cross. We rejoice that he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and he has brought us into his glorious light. We rejoice in his forgiveness. We rejoice in new life. We rejoice in being children of God. We rejoice knowing that our future is secure in him and that nothing can change that. We rejoice that we are loved with a perfect love by the creator of the universe. We rejoice because he is faithful today and forevermore. In Christ, the solid rock, he is our firm foundation. And so we can always rejoice. There will never be a day in our lives when we can't rejoice in him. Now I say that knowing that for many days ahead, some of them will be difficult. Some of them will be painful. Some of them will be hurtful. But we can always rejoice in Christ and in his goodness and in his love for us. So the first tool that we have when anxious situations may arise is to rejoice. The second one that we have, who am I going to pick on? Gnomes, you're up. Here we go. And this next one is you're looking for one that says trust in it. Here we go. There we go. Right, boys and girls, you're going to have to write that in your worksheet somewhere on that worksheet. So that second one that we have is trust. Now, if you look in verse 5, it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And I'm sure we can think on many situations when people are around us, and indeed, if we want to be really honest and humble, ourselves have not been reasonable. Other translations, you might have it before you, say gentle. But we are called to be people who are reasonable, to be people who are gentle, and people to be calm in all situations. Now, I'm sure you're thinking through situations in your mind where you're just like, oh man, I've maybe not been the most reasonable person in the world at that point. I know sometimes when I'm driving, I'm maybe not the most reasonable person in the world and I need to repent quite often for that. But what does it look like to have that gentleness and to be reasonable? And I think the answer is quite simply, here is trust. We are reasonable in situations that could very easily lead to anxiety because we know the one who knows what's going on. We know the one who knows the bigger picture. We know God Almighty. And we know that he is sovereign over all things and that he is in control of all things. We know that he is at work in every situation to bring about his good and his perfect will. I think often our reasonableness can stand out as being a great witness to those who surround us. I've heard stories and testimonies from people within this room of where they saw someone with that reasonableness. They saw that trust that someone else had in God in a situation that for many others would lead to really, really big worry, anxiety, stress. But they saw something different in them. They saw a trust in God. Trusting in God. We live that out 24/7. And not only do we put our faith in Jesus at all times, not only do we trust in him at all times, we pray that others would see that and that they would join us in trusting in him in the future. The third one we've got is presence. And because he's here, Sasha, do you want to come on up? Sorry. You knew it was coming, mate. Yeah, there you go. So this is a hammer, and so the writing's a little dark in it. And so this one says presence on it. So verse 5, it says, again, so let your reasonable... I cannot say the word reasonableness today. Here we go. Reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. Years ago, I remember reading a tweet from a guy called Preston Sprinkle. A number of you will know his name. We've read some of his books together as a church. And he said this, peace is not the absence of a situation. It comes with the presence of God. How often do we face anxious moments alone and we forget who is with us in that time? We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the power of God inside of us. We have the very presence of God with us at all times. This coming week, boys and girls, as you go into primary school, as some of you in a few weeks go to university, maybe some of you go into new jobs, this coming week, remember who is with you at all times. Remember who has promised never to leave you and never to forsake you. Psalm 46 reminds us that God is a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, it says, we need not fear. As children, what we do, I remember doing this as a child, and so my parents are in the room, they can speak to this. But when there was moments of fear, there was moments of stress, there was moments of worry, what did I do? I ran to my parents. Why did I do that? Because I knew that they were bigger than me. I knew that they were stronger than me. I knew that they were wiser than me. That's probably the case still today, but never mind about that. But we run to our parents in time of need, and we remember that they're there for us. And so if we do that with our parents, how much more so do we do that with our Heavenly Father, who is infinitely stronger than our parents, infinitely wiser than our parents? We run to him, and he is there with us at all times. We have the presence of God with us. And this week, if you come into a situation and you feel that anxiety rising, remember you do not face it alone. The God of creation, Jesus, is with you by his Spirit. The fourth one, Paul, come on up. And so, John, grab it and you can go on this side of the stage. You're looking for prayer, and I think it's on our ruler. There we go. So, boys and girls, the fourth one you're looking for, you're going to write this one, is prayer. And you're going to pop that in on the ruler. About just over 20 years ago, I think some of you have probably heard this story already, but I went to Brazil, and so I went with... I didn't know them at the time, but they're now very good friends of Alison, Jenny, and Ruth. And I remember arriving there, I think it was late September of 2004, And I was going to be living there for just over 6 months. And I talk about the wisdom thing. I went to that country without a phrase book or a dictionary, which was not the smartest thing to ever do, where you're going to be there for 6 months and you need to learn the language. And as I remember arriving there, it was about mid-evening that we landed, and I met the two people that I'd be staying with for 6 months. And so they very kindly gave me their spare bedroom to use for that 6 months. Now, my Portuguese was non-existent at the time, and their English, so Edson, he can speak a bit of English. His wife Fabiana, I ended up being her English teacher, and so we know how that went. Anyways, she could speak a little bit of English by the end of it, not much. She could say fit-like, but that was about it. So. But I remember on that first night, just lying there in my bed and praying and saying, God, I am so far out of my depth right now, I need you. This was time before smartphones. There was an internet cafe down the block that I could access, but I didn't know at that time. It was probably one of the biggest moments in my life that I felt that I was taken so far out of my comfort zone. But we have this gift from God of prayer. When we run into situations where we are so far out of our comfort zone, when we can feel worried, stressed, we remember this relationship, this key relationship, the biggest relationship that we can have in our lives with God. And prayer has been given to us by Him as a gift for us to develop that relationship. And this week, if you have tough times, how quickly will we run to God in prayer? I pray that is the first thing that we run to. He is the most important one in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, who is good all the time. He's a Father who listens. He's a Father who has good gifts. He's a Father with all authority, power, and strength, and who can, in His good will, change our situations, or maybe even better, He can change our perspectives on the situations. And we ask to see what He is doing. Prayer is the fourth one. Fifth one we have. Who am I going to pick on? Who am I going to pick on? Jacob! Jacob, come on down. And so you're looking for one, you're looking for an axe. And that one should say Thanksgiving on it, or thankfulness?
Thanksgiving.
So boys and girls, you're going to pop Thanksgiving into there. In anxious situations, I know how easy it can be for us to lose perspective. And this one thing that is looming seems to grow bigger and bigger in our minds until it is all that we can see. These situations can feel like a bit like an eclipse of where it just completely blocks out the light, and the situation dominates every single space of our minds. But here, the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to step into thankfulness. And in thankfulness, we are reminded of all the other things that God is doing in our lives. Instead of us just focusing on that one thing, we step back and we see the broader picture of what Christ is doing. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We all experience the goodness of God. From His redemptive work in our lives that has saved us from the power of sin and given us His eternal future with Him, to how we experience Him day in and day out. When we did those praise and prayer cards, the first one was from a child who just wanted to give thanks to God for meals, for food. We remember that. We remember the friendships that we have. We remember how we've all probably enjoyed some of His glorious creation on the way to church here this morning. In thanksgiving, what we do is that we remove ourselves from the center of our story and we put Jesus back there. When we remember all that He has done, thanksgiving then quickly moves us to worship and we give Him praise and glory for all that He has done. And the last tool that we have, who am I going to pick on? Daniel, John, come on. All right, thanks, mate. So you got the last one. Thanks, mate. I didn't mean to click my finger there. That was really bossy. Really sorry, Daniel. Oh. So the last tool we have, it says focus. And so this passage asks us, what are we focusing on? So let me read verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So we had that list in there, honorable, true, just, pure, lovely, commendable. We are encouraged, if not commanded, to think about such things and not to think about the things that the world wants our minds to be filled with. At the Magnitude Festival, I spoke a bit on this passage and of how, especially within young people, cases of anxiety and depression are rising at an alarming rate. Despite living in a world where it first appears that our desires can be met quicker than ever before, everything seems to be much more accessible, but we are not finding that peace is accompanying that. Because none of what the world can offer can ever get close to what God can offer. And here in this passage, twice it says that he gives us his peace. So Paul is asking the question, what are you focusing on to give you peace? And we think on all the things that we've allowed to fill our minds within the past 7 days. Have they led you to peace? Have those things that you've seen on a screen, of those things you've read on a book, the things you've filled your mind with, have they been true? Have they been honorable? Have they been right, pure, just? Have those things been worthy of praise? And I think if we are all honest with ourselves, our answer is sometimes, but sometimes not. Sometimes I've probably allowed other things to enter into my mind that have robbed me from peace, that have taken me away from the God of peace. About 5 years ago, some of you will know, I took a few weeks off work because I was struggling with some stuff. I was struggling with a bit of burnout. And so, but one thing that I was struggling with in there was anxiety. And so I found that much of what I'm speaking about today was very, very real in that moment. But it's strange how a very simple song can speak very clearly to you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We need to turn our minds to Jesus. How often do we turn our minds to other things? Maybe we turn our minds to distraction before we turn our minds to Jesus. Do we go to him? Is our gaze upon him, the one Jesus who is true, Jesus who is righteous, Jesus who is honorable, Jesus who is pure, Jesus who is just, Jesus who is excellent and most worthy of praise? How often do we turn our gaze to him and the rest fades away? When our gaze is fixed upon him, we're told that the God of peace will be with you. Now, boys and girls, we have got our 6 tools here. But what Paul concludes with, he says, what you have learned and received and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is saying to these believers, I'm doing my best to give you an example of what it looks like to use this toolkit. Learn from me and then put it into practice. Now, I will admit that I'm not great at DIY. I do not do a lot of it around the house. I have a couple of smaller toolkits, but when I've gone into other people's houses and seen the size of their toolkits, John Taylor has got he's got a plethora of tools. He really does. It's impressive, and I'm sure others of you here have that as well. But we are encouraged to use these tools. If we have these tools and just leave them on the shelf, then they're not going to do us much good. Now, I can put up a shelf in my house. I'm at that standard of DIY. My dad has got me to that point. I'm 42 years of age, and I can put a shelf up now. Yes. But if I tried to put a shelf up without using any of the tools, how do you think that's going to go? It's not going to go that well. I think the wall would have some pretty big holes in it. The wall would not look peaceful or pleasant. I don't think the shelf would be up straight. I think it would be at that kind of angle, probably. And I think my hands would be a fair old mess. If we don't use the tools that we've been given, what do we expect? If I don't put a shelf up using the tools, it's not going to look peaceful at all. And if I don't use the tools that I've been given, these ones here of rejoicing, trusting in God, resting in his presence, of thanksgiving, of prayer and focus, what can I expect? We all need to learn to use these tools at every single stage of life, from the boys and girls who are the youngest, to the teenagers, to the young adults, and to everyone else. We all need to remember to push into these things. We live in a world where peace feels it's going down like that, but we've been given the tools by Jesus. Will we use them? Will we rejoice? Will we trust? Will we rest in his presence? Will we run to him in prayer? Will our hearts be full of thankfulness? And will our eyes be turned towards Jesus? One by one, let's put them into practice in these coming weeks so that we may know the peace of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we do have so much to rejoice in. And Father, throughout this week, would our minds be full of Jesus in whom we can rejoice in. Jesus who has saved us. Jesus who has given us this future with him forevermore. And Lord, we look forward to that day. We thank you that already we are citizens of heaven, that we are adopted sons and daughters of God Most High. And we thank you that we can rejoice forevermore. Lord, would our hearts be filled with thankfulness. Lord, we sang just a few moments ago about our faith being made stronger, Lord. We pray that when we are in situations that are difficult, that our faith, Lord, it would be strengthened because we trust in you. Lord, we know that we are never alone. Lord, we know that we can speak to you at all times. Lord, would you help us in those times of prayer, Lord, for you to change our hearts, to have our hearts that are full of submission to your will, Lord, for your kingdom to come, not ours. And Father, as we go from this place, would our eyes be completely and utterly fixed upon Jesus. Jesus, who loves us more than we could ever, ever imagine. And so as we go from this place, we say tomorrow has enough for itself. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. We can just take one day at a time and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.